Brought to you by Moran & Company in Rochester, helping investors retire successfully since 1997. Here from the Detroit Lions, victorious out in the desert, is Alex Anzalone. Hello, Alex.
How's it going?
Good, good.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you.
Not sore after yesterday.
Yes, you can't be that sore unless the seat on the airplane was bad.
Right.
When did you know that you weren't going to play?
So, I mean, I cleared protocol and everything like that. But actually Dan pulled me aside on Friday morning and just said he didn't feel comfortable me pushing it and playing. And, I thought that was pretty cool for an NFL head coach to do that for a player, just looking out for, me on a personal level. So, that was really win.
I think if I were taking it that way also, I might think like maybe he thinks I'm pretty valuable to the team and doesn't want to risk me going out, which I think is also behind that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few different variables, but I think the biggest one he voiced was just on a personal level. He's he's been there, done that, and as a player, and he knows the situation that we're put in, and injury situations, and it's kind of nice to have it be taken out of my hands and just, made it easier.
Of course, if he comes to you this Friday and says, Alex, come, let me talk to you.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I don't think you should be playing this way. Then you might start wondering.
Yeah. Something's going on.
Yeah. Well, the defense acquitted itself well without you. It held what had been a very high-scoring team. I think Arizona scored 28 and 41 points in its first two games, and it scored 13 against you, including a couple of critical late downs, third and fourth downs, where you were able to stop Kyler Murray and keep them from advancing or keep them to field goals. And then that really, on a day when the offense was doing okay but not phenomenal, that was the difference.
Yeah, 100%. Our defense showed up yesterday. And really, the first three games, I feel like we showed up in a big way. And I think that, right now our offense isn't necessarily clicking on full cylinders, like you mentioned, but now, it's the time of year where the defense has to drive the bus a little bit and pick up the slack. And, I'm sure it's going to roll the reverse at some point throughout the year, but that's just what we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kenny.
I was going to say, how much blue was at that stadium yesterday? I looked at the crowd. It looked like half the stadium was Lions fans.
Yeah, it was impressive. It reminded me of the Tampa, away Tampa game last year. It was impressive how many fans were there. It was just like, when they open the gates and you see all the blue jerseys just pouring in, it's really insane to see.
Do they ever hear where they're from? Are they from here and just went out there, or they actually live out there? I wonder.
I don't know. There was some fans that were saying they're from Florida. There's some fans saying they're from Detroit. There's some fans, they're just everywhere.
Well, you notice they're in warm weather cities. They're in Arizona. They're in Tampa. They're definitely people who are from here who smartened up.
What are you saying, Mr. Montana Lion fans didn't show up for this one?
Yeah, exactly right. You're not going to see them in North Dakota, but you're going to see them in warm places. I want to ask you about this play, cut 11 here, the old hook and ladder, which came off beautifully.
As Goff hits St. Brown, who flips it to Jahmyr Gibbs. And Gibbs is in the end zone for a Lions touchdown.
That was so much fun to watch on television. I don't know if you could see it from where you were, but did you guys know that was coming, and what was the reaction?
Yeah, so, I mean, when it was called, no. But, it's funny because right when that happened, I was like, well, I've seen that play before. The offense did it, I think, two times against us in practice, in training camp, towards the end of training camp, and it actually worked both times. So, when I saw it, I was like, well, I've seen that before.
And it worked again, yeah.
Right.
For a touchdown. Do you, when you're on the sidelines, do you have any information about, what the offense is going to do just by virtue of being on the sidelines, or are you basically a fan watching the game unfold same way as everybody else?
Yeah, you're pretty much a fan. You just watch what the offense, you don't really know what they're calling. The only way you would know is you stand around someone, who has a headset, like the third string quarterback or the second string quarterback has the headset, and they'll tell you what the play is if you stand near them. But when you're on the bench and you're playing, you have no clue.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I think sometimes fans have a better immediate view of a game than players do. Players, once they watch the tape, they understand it much differently. But, you know, when they first walk off the field, I always feel for players who get asked all these questions about, you know, and what'd you think about that play, you know, when this happened? He said, well, I was kind of sitting on the bench. I didn't really see it.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have televisions. I mean, we've all got televisions and replays. We see everything.
Exactly.
But, you know, in real time, you're not seeing a whole lot.
Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. We don't have slow-mo and replay and all the different angles. We just, you know, see it for face value and live action, and that's really all we can go off of. And like you said, until we go and watch the film.
Yeah. I hear the little one right there. Your daddy duty today, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got my baby girl by my hip right now, and we're just actually shopping for pumpkins.
Oh wow.
That's the best.
Well, yeah. And do I understand that you had a birthday over this weekend as well? Was your birthday actually yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Oh wow! Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. What did what do you and your family do to celebrate your birthday?
So today we're just hanging out. You know, we went to the playground, the park earlier, and we're going out to dinner tonight, and kind of just, you know, whatever a dad wants to do, I guess, just hang out with the family and, you know, have a nice dinner.
That sounds like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in everybody's life who's got a 2-year-old.
Wow. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday to you. And it was a happy game there. And then once again, you got to turn around and you're back on Monday night, in the national spotlight again against a 3-0 team. And we're now enough weeks into the season that some of these things are starting to be surprising. Some of the teams that are, like Minnesota being 3-0 after losing J.J. McCarthy as a quarterback, that's got to be surprising. Seattle being 3-0 after losing their coach is kind of surprising. Or anything in the NFL that's kind of caught your eye so far as we head into the fourth week?
Yeah, it's almost like a tale as old as time, just seeing, you know, certain teams that you did not expect to be, you know, 3-0, 4-0, even 5-0. And, you know, it's still September, but, these teams that you have no expectations for, like, you know, Minnesota, who knew Sam Darnold was going to have a resurrection of his career and start going out there throwing for 300 some yards and, you know, all these touchdowns and all these points. So, there's a few teams out there. I know a few of the undefeateds lost yesterday, but, you know, it'll shake its way out as the season goes on.
Yeah. Well, what do you know about Seattle?
Not much yet. I haven't watched film, but I know, it's a team that obviously we've struggled with for the past, 3 years? We've been 0-3 since I've been here and, you know, all of us have been here. So, it's a personal game in that matter. And I think it's time that we definitely turn the table on that. And we'll be motivated and ready to go come Monday night.
It's either time to turn the table or time to ask the schedulers to stop putting Seattle on the schedule.
Every year.
They're not in your division. I don't know. In your division. Why do you keep getting stuck with them?
I don't know, but I like it. I'm excited to play them. I'll say that much.
It looks like Derek Barnes and Davenport are going to be out for at least this week. It looks like short term or long term, whatever. Is that going to make your role? Are you going to have to start playing other positions for the rest of the, you know, until they get back? Or is that?
Yeah, we'll see. Especially the Derek's really is the one that would be make it a little more variable. I think that we'll see what they decide as far as what packages, and you know, Derek did a lot of stuff for us, and we were able to do a bunch of different packages and put him at different positions and different looks. So we'll see how Coach Glenn adjusts, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. And Marcus Davenport looks like he had a pretty bad elbow injury.
Yeah, we'll see. He kept playing, so I was like, I don't really know what's going on. But, he's a tough guy, and if he's saying he's hurt, he's hurt.
Yeah. Well, we hope you're able to play on Monday night. You get an extra day of rest. And, again, happy birthday to you, and congratulations to the Lions on another big win. And look forward
Thank
to speaking
you guys.
To you next week.
I expect to see those black jerseys this week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I expect to see him this week.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. Alex Anzalone, brought to you by Moran & Company in Rochester, helping investors retire successfully since 1997.